The Holy Gospel appointed for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 22 through 30. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, as you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and west, and from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to reach out to those who are still unsaved to the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, Father, help us with the wisdom and guidance of your Holy Spirit to lead them to strive to enter through the narrow door that gives and offers them eternal life. Father, we just sang, and not alone to nations and faraway retreats, but everywhere I broadcast his love through crowded streets. The lives that my life touches, however great or small, let them through me see Jesus, who served and saves us all. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words that I would like to share with you today is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday, the gospel of St. Luke, the 13th chapter, with special attention to the following words of Jesus himself. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." This is the word of our Lord. Dear brothers, sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" That is the question someone in the crowd asked Jesus as he was traveling through towns and villages on his way to Jerusalem, preaching and teaching about the kingdom of heaven. "Yes, Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And unfortunately, brothers, sisters in Christ, the answer today is yes. Yes, at the end of the day, only a very few will be saved to the kingdom of heaven. This became quite clear and evident to Jesus himself early on during his 3-year public ministry. Even though large crowds came to hear Jesus preach and teach about the kingdom of heaven, and many were healed by the hundreds and hundreds, only a very few were willing to make a commitment to follow Jesus. That's precisely what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Listen to what he says. The gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to hell. And there are many who travel it. The gate is narrow and hard and difficult that leads to life, and few people find it. That's why Jesus urges them, saying, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Unfortunately, there are far too many people today who choose not to enter the narrow door. Instead, they go through the wide, easy door that leads to eternal destruction. I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying it. In other words, Jesus pictures the kingdom of heaven like a house with many rooms, as we read in the Gospel of John chapter 14. And Jesus says that the door is open, but you only can enter it through that narrow door. And right now that door is still open, but only for a very short time. And why is that? Think about it for just a moment. Because the time will come when that door will be shut. It will be closed. You can't open it even if you have a key. And no one will be able to come in. Yes, our Bible lesson for today in the Gospel says once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock on that door and say, Lord, open to us, he will answer you saying, I do not know where you come from. The New International Version of the Bible says, I do not know you. Yes, once Jesus comes again, as he has promised us, and he's coming. The signs are evident in the world today as you read Matthew chapter 24. He will shut that door, and those standing outside won't be able to come in. It's going to be sad. Even though they will ask him and plead with him to open it, Lord, open the door. I almost feel like crying this morning because it saddens me. I don't know about you. It will be a sad day. As I prepared my sermon last night, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It's going to be too late for them. And unfortunately, there isn't going to be a second chance later on to make that commitment once Jesus comes back again. The door will be shut forever. Even though they will claim saying, Jesus, we ate and drank with you in your presence, like we're doing this morning. And we heard you preaching in the streets. We saw you with our own eyes. Yes, it's going to be too late, as they are going to plead in the same way the rich man did when he cried out saying, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger with water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. You know, hell is real. You can't call the fire department
because they're not coming. It's going to be too late for them, not for us. But again, unfortunately, there isn't anything that can be done because Father Abraham said to the rich man, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able and those from there cannot come to us. We all understand that, don't we? And unfortunately, that continues to be true today. Look around. Do you know anybody who's unsaved? Maybe someone in your family. Maybe a friend of yours. Have you thought about it? A neighbor? Someone you worked with for so many years that is still unsaved to the kingdom of heaven. And what are we doing about it? Yes, there are many who eat and drink in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ today and hear about Jesus. They may have gone to church sometime, but then they are gone. But they heard about Jesus. But they're more concerned about the here and now. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die, instead of believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. They refuse or are not willing to take the narrow gate like you and I are doing that is hard and difficult and which leads to eternal life. No, once we became Christians, God never promised us a bed of roses, did he? No, he didn't. We got to work at it. Oh, yes, we're going to have our aches and pains, right? We're going to get sick and we're going to have crises in our family, financial problems, all kinds of issues. But who gets us through those problems? There's one answer, Jesus, right? He's the answer. And that's why we come to church. Because we need to be nourished, encouraged, fed by the word of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be going through that narrow door that finally gets to the kingdom of heaven. Praise God for that. Yes, many actually believe that there are always going to be time or enough time to take care of it later on. You know what I hear people say when I talk to them about Jesus? I'm too busy right now. Have you heard that? Or, I don't have the time, Pastor. I have other important things right now. I'll do it later. I promise I'll do it later, and later never comes. And then there are those who believe that there is always going to be a second chance. They really believe it when you talk to them. There's always going to be a second chance after I die to this world or Jesus comes back again because he's a loving God. He wouldn't do that to me. Or what's even worse, more devastating, there are people who believe that there are other ways to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. The doctrine of universalism. And yet, what does Jesus say in the Gospel of John 14, verse 6? What does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way, according to the Bible. Yes, on Judgment Day, they will acknowledge knowing Jesus as they ate and drank in his presence and heard about his teaching. But when Jesus comes back again, as he has promised us, suddenly that door will be closed forever, and they will hear him say to them, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil. Is that kind of harsh? You know, when you say, here Jesus says, all you workers of evil. I'm not saying that. Why is Jesus saying that? Because they don't believe in him. They don't accept him as the Lord and their Savior. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Tough, isn't it? Not only that, Jesus says, in that place, you know, called hell, There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven, but you will be cast out. That's precisely what happened to the rich man, and I'm going to repeat myself. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus, the poor man, received bad things, but now he is comforted there and you are in agony. That's why it's so important today that we who are saved make every effort to take every opportunity we have by the guidance and help of the Holy Spirit to save the unsaved to the kingdom of heaven, so that the few may hopefully become the many. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what Jesus wants? Yes. What does the Great Commission say? Who remembers the words? Anybody? Go. Don't sit, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, right? And that includes Big Bear Valley, doesn't it? California, United States, throughout the world. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We know the commission. It's very clear. What does Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4? God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And who's going to do that? You and I. We need to bring the knowledge of the truth to them, so that they may have Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Listen to the words we sang today. I hope all of you were listening as you sang it. Let none hear you idly saying, there's nothing I can do. While the multitudes are dying and the master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calls you. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Unfortunately, we must confess again this morning that we have not always been faithful to the task he gives us gladly. Here am I. Send me, send me. And I'll be the first to confess as a pastor, I don't do a good job sometimes of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ myself. And I feel bad about it. I could do better. And yet the Lord forgives us, you know. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He still loves us. And he forgives us as we make a promise today, and we need to do that. Make a promise to take every opportunity you have to reach out to the unsaved, even here in the Big Bear Valley, so that the few may become many. Yes, unless you and I vigorously, aggressively go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen. Nothing happens in a vacuum. And that's also true of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are his vessels, his instruments in the world today to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, may God the Father bless us, preserve us for his Holy Spirit as we go out and share the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And I'm going to ask you the question today and think about it. If you know someone in your family right now, a friend you've known for years, a neighbor, someone at work that is still unsaved, don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. He doesn't want us to go and share the love of Jesus with the unsaved. He wants them all to go to hell, like Jesus says this morning. But Jesus wants all to be saved. And you and I need to do that. And if we do it individually, the few are going to be many. Remember the hymn we sang today? What does it say? Lord, gather all your children, wherever they may be, and lead them onto heaven to live eternally. So let's do it. by the guidance, the help of the Holy Spirit, bring the unsaved to Jesus. We can do it because the Holy Spirit is with us. He'll tell us what to say. He'll help us. God bless you in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and abide with us all unto life everlasting. Amen.